I want you to take your Bible again and turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And I want us to resume this morning our study in the life of Moses. We've been looking at Moses for some time on a Sunday morning. Moses, the servant of the Lord. And I want us to come this morning to this portion of God's Word. And I want to talk to you this morning about a precious promise for a pressurized prophet. A precious promise for a pressurized prophet. I want us to look at those verses, especially verses 12 through 15 this morning. Some years ago in an evangelistic service in our country, the preacher was explaining what it means to trust the Lord Jesus in every circumstance of life. Concluding the message, he repeated these words several times. He said that it means in every circumstance of life, we can keep on saying, "For this I have Jesus." Before the service concluded that evening, he left it open for testimonies. And the young lady who had been playing the piano stood up and said, "I have to leave shortly, but I would like to be the first to testify." She said, "Just a short time ago, I was handed this telegram," and she read the telegram out. It said, "Mother is critically ill. Come home immediately." She said, "When I read the telegram, I knew that tonight's message was for me. Mine eyes looked up to the Lord and said, 'For this I have Jesus,' and instantly a peace, a strength flooded my soul." A month later, that evangelist had a letter from that same young lady saying, "Thank you for the message that you gave that evening." Since then, life has become an uninterrupted psalm of victory. "For I have come to realize that no matter what life throws at me, for this I have Jesus." Moy Royden said on one occasion, "When you have nothing left but God, then you become aware that God is enough." When you have nothing left but God, then you become aware that God is enough. The problem for Moses was this, that God had indicated the withdrawal of his presence from them. If you look at verse number 12 or verse 2 of chapter 33, you'll notice what the Lord says. He says, "I will send an angel before thee." You see, God is so displeased with the nation of Israel that he's saying, "You can go on to Canaan without me." Well, why was this? Well, let me set it in its context. You remember, the people had sinned. While Moses was up the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments and also the pattern for the tabernacle, you remember the people turned aside quickly to idolatry and are dancing naked before the golden calf. The tables of the law, as Moses comes down from the mount, the tables of the law fall from his trembling hands. You remember he seizes that wretched image. He burns it in the fire. He grounds it to powder. And then he sets up this temporary tent of meeting for the purpose of seeking genuine spiritual revival. You see, it wasn't enough for the people to turn away from their idols. They must wholeheartedly turn back to the Lord. What a state the nation of Israel were in. There was the loss of God's presence. It was a time of indifference. Words and actions lay bare the heart. If you flick back for a moment to chapter 32, you'll see their indifference toward their leader. Look at verse number 1. Exodus 32 and verse 1. They said to Aaron, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us, for us, for this Moses, the man that has brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not." We know not what has become of him. They said, "We don't know where Moses is. We don't know what he's doing." And the implication is, we don't care. You can tell a lot about a local church by their attitude towards God's man. I want you to see their indifference toward their leader. And then I want you to see their indifference toward their Lord. For at the monthly business meeting, they propose that Aaron make them new gods, which should go before them. You see, it was not only a time of indifference, it was a time of idolatry. For Aaron made a calf, which means that God was degraded to being a cow. Of course, cows and calves are still popping out of the fire today. You see, when we give to anything the allegiance or the devotion that belongs to God alone, we're guilty of idolatry. It was a time of indifference. It was a time of idolatry. It was a time of indulgence. Can you imagine it? The people that God had redeemed by his precious blood, brought out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, they're dancing naked before this golden calf. No wonder God says in verse 2, "And I will send an angel before thee." Are there many Christians today who grieve over the loss of God's presence and God's power and God's blessing? Sometimes I think, as long as the church machinery keeps running, churning out more and more programs and producing good numbers, church leaders are willing to overlook the absence of God's presence and God's power and God's blessing. And as long as their lives are comfortable, individual Christians are the same. And yet a business as usual attitude will never bring about revival. Moses understood this. I wonder, do we? Isn't it interesting that in this passage we see great things in not so great times? For example, in chapter 33, verses 7 to 11, we see a great preparation as Moses sets up this temporary place of meeting with God. And then in verses 12 and 13, we see a great prayer. And now in verse 14 of chapter 33, we see a great promise. You see, God knew what Moses was after. Wasn't the presence of the angels. Moses was after the very presence of the living God. And eventually God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." It was a precious promise for a pressurized prophet. Now I want to do three things with this statement this morning. First of all, I want to explore the context to this promise. Secondly, I want to expound the content of this promise. And thirdly, I want us to experience the comfort from this promise. Notice, first of all, the context to this promise. You see, this promise is a benediction in itself. And yet, when we set this promise in its setting, its fuller glory appears. You know, fellas, when you go to buy the ring, what it's like? Well, certainly costly. But you know, that ring is beautiful in itself. That jewel is beautiful in itself. But when the jeweler takes it and puts it in its proper setting with that dark background behind it, its beauty is more enhanced. And so it's the same when we consider this statement. You see, this statement was given to a man with little help, a lonely man. Moses was probably more lonely amidst 2.5 million Israelites than when he was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, at the backside of the desert. And of course, his brother has let him die. I mean, isn't Aaron pathetic in all of this? Given the opportunity to stand for the Lord, he meekly accepts the desire of the people. And when he's called to account by Moses, he lamely explained that he just threw this gold into the fire, and miraculously a calf came out. Moses is lonely. Even his brother has let him down. Moses is brokenhearted. He comes before the Lord and he sobs out his prayer. He says, oh, this people have sinned a great sin. They have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Disillusion. The people on whom such high hopes were set had proved faithless. The tables of the law lay broken at the foot of the mountain. God's wrath burned against these stiff-necked idolaters. Poor Moses, his disappointment was great. And yet it was to this man at this time that God comes with this comforting word, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. Wonder on the second Sunday of a new year, am I speaking to some disappointed Christian? Maybe you started out with godly intentions and high hopes, but experience has brought disillusionment, and you're now disappointed with life, and maybe there's that incurable dull ache in your heart about the way things have transpired, and maybe you're disappointed with life, and you're disappointed with yourself, and you're disappointed with other Christians. Well, this promise this morning is specifically for you. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. You see, the Lord longs to dwell with the disappointed so that their sense of disappointment may be swallowed up in the compensation of his friendship. The Lord is with you, dear friend, and he wants to become so real to you that your disappointment will be transformed by the realization of his presence. Given to a man with little help. You look at it again, it's given to a man with little heart. A man whose great work for God seemed to be falling to pieces. I mean, how deeply discouraged Moses must have been. Not only had the people proved utterly undependable and perverted, and 3,000 Israelites had been slain by the sword, but the tabernacle had been removed from the corrupted camp. But above everything else, God indicated that he wasn't going to go up with his people to Canaan. He said, you can go up if you like. He says, I'll send an angel with you. But he says, I'm not going to go with you. My dear friends, what was an angel without God? It was mere guidance without fellowship. And Moses is discouraged and he's dispirited. And he comes before the Lord in verse 12. And he says, Lord, you're saying to me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moses is really asking for specifics about the angel. But it's not an angel he really wants. He wants the Lord. I wonder this morning, are you a discouraged servant of the Lord? Why those falling tears? Wonder if you've been jealous for the honor of your Lord. You've been concerned for the glory of your Savior and it has brought nothing but misunderstanding. Maybe you've been faithfully witnessing for the Lord Jesus and yet you've seen no souls coming to faith in Christ. Maybe you've been earnestly working with those children, and yet there's been so little response. Maybe you've been seeking for that deeper spiritual walk with God, and it hasn't come, and you're discouraged and you're despondent. Discouraged child of God, this morning, this promise is specifically for you. My presence shall go with thee. And I'll give you rest. The Lord is with you. And he wants his presence to be a living reality in your life. You see, it's in the realization of his presence that there lies the secret of unfailing courage. Years ago, Robert Bruce was a godly Scottish minister. And he attracted many to his church. And on one occasion, an earl drove a very long distance to attend one of his services. And the service was supposed to start at a certain time, and it hadn't started. And the earl was getting impatient for the service to begin. And he asked the steward, he said, "When's the minister going to appear?" The steward went to the vestry door. But when he went to the door, he refrained from knocking, for he could hear someone praying inside. And then he returned to the earl and he said, "He won't come today, your lordship." He said, "I heard him say that he cannot go unless someone goes with him. And though he kept on asking, I didn't hear the other one answer him at all." Thank God this morning, at the beginning of 2014, we have the assurance that the other one is always with us. But what a difference it will make if we travel down this year in the conscious realization of his presence. Given to a man with little help, given to a man with little heart, something else, given to a man with little hope, a man bending beneath the weight of his great responsibility. Here was a man who felt that his burden was more than he could bear. Here was Moses, and he was now apprehensive for the future. I mean, did any man ever carry a heavier burden than Moses? Think of it. 2.5 million whining Israelites in the background. And he was responsible under God not only to bring them out, but to bring them in. Is it not therefore surprising that above everything else, Moses longed for the personal presence of God? You know, when God calls a man out for special service, there's always a sense of responsibility plus a sense of loneliness. The true servant of Jesus Christ often travels a path where others cannot accompany him, and that has made him long for the Lord's presence with him. And has God ever failed us? And to those of you this morning who bear heavy burdens because of your attachment to Jesus Christ, because of your work for Jesus Christ, here's a promise that comes with heavenly cheer. My presence shall go with thee. I'll give you the rest. Wonder this morning, is this promise for you? Maybe you're someone with little help. Maybe you're someone with little heart. You've lost your courage. Maybe you're someone with little hope because of your work for the Lord. And the Lord is saying to you this morning, as he said to Moses so many years ago, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Now, that's the context of this promise. But look at it again in verse 14. Notice not only the context, but the content. Exploring the context to this promise and now expounding the content of this promise. That the Lord did give this promise to Moses is made clear from verse 14. Notice what it says, "And he said." So the Lord speaking. "And he said." What did he say? "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Here again, John Wesley's deathbed exaltation. Best of all, God is with us. Now, that word "us" is important. You see, the Lord was referring to Moses alone. Look at verse 14. Here's what it says. "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses comes back and says, "And he said unto him, If thy presence go not," and with me it's in italics, "carry us up not hence." You see, the Lord was speaking to Moses alone. Here's what the Lord, in effect, was saying: "Moses, the withdrawal of my presence does not affect you. It affects the nation of Israel. Moses, though I'm not going with them, I'm going with you, and my presence will be sufficient for you." Moses wouldn't settle for that, and so he says, "If thy presence go not with us, carrieth not up hence. I want you to see that while God is saying you, Moses is saying us. You see, my dear friends, Moses wouldn't have for himself what the people of God would not share. And so God says, my presence shall go with thee. I'll give thee rest. Now, what's God's promising here? Companionship. Companionship. Isn't it a great thing as we begin this opening year, opening Sundays of the new year, that the Lord is with us? He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Do you see how certain his companionship is? He says, my presence shall go with thee. The divine assurances are never weakened by any suggestion of falteringness. My presence shall go with thee. He's going to be with each of us right through to the end of the journey. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, he will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never forsake. It's certain companionship. Not only that, it's close companionship. Did you notice that the first word in this promise is a precious pronoun, my? And it's this pronoun which has the emphasis here. You see, God's promised to send an angel far from satisfied Moses. But now at length he yields to his servant's moving entreaty. He says, my presence shall go with thee. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, puts it like this, I myself will go with thee. Do you know that my pledge is to us the side-by-side, heart-to-heart fellowship of God himself throughout all our pilgrim way, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. It meant more than infallible superintendence from a distant heaven. It meant the close companionship of one who was enough to meet Moses' need for guidance, sustenance, and strength. Think of it. An unchanging friend, an undeparting friend would accompany him through that wilderness journey. A wonderful friend. Someone who would sit with him in the tent. Someone who would stand with him in the council. Someone who would go forth with him to the field of battle. My friend, this morning, how can you experience a sense of loneliness when this everlasting friend has promised to go with us down through the desert road? My presence, literally my face, shall go with thee. That suggests intimacy of fellowship. Here was Moses. He was anxious. He was discouraged. He was dispirited. What an antidote to his anxiety. My face shall go with thee. You know, when someone turns their face from us, what does it indicate? It indicates disapproval. It indicates displeasure. God is indicating his gracious favor. Think of it this morning. The face of God, the smile of God, the pleasure of God, the presence of God, as together we travel down the road of life. My presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. It was certain companionship. It was close companionship. Look again at the statement. It was calm companionship. I'll give thee rest. You know, many think that the rest here spoken of is Canaan. Rest at the end of the journey. But Bishop Hanley Moore reminds us that there are two possible sorts of rest. There's a rest after toil and there's a rest in toil. And I believe that it was this latter kind of rest that was promised to Moses, not rest after, but rest in. My dear friends, is that not the kind of rest that you and I as believers need? I mean, what stress there is today, what restlessness, what unsettledness, what tension. Is it not so easy for us as Christian believers to become so agitated and so nervous and so anxious, and how we need that inner soothing quiet that God promises here? You see, the rest grows out of his presence. My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. The consciousness of God's presence gives to the heart a rest, a peace that nothing else can give. It gives rest from doubt, for when God is real, doubt dies. It gives rest from fear, for if God be for us, who can be against us? It gives rest from anxiety, for if the Lord walks with us, nothing can really harm us. It gives rest from the future. For David says, or Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. Certain companionship, close companionship, calm companionship. Why, these are the very words that flowed from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, it's in the person of Christ that God fulfills his promise to us. It's in the realized presence of the Lord Jesus that the Christian finds a rest, a repose of heart that the world cannot give, that the world cannot take away. I wonder, do you know this rest? Do you need this rest? Look at the statement again. You see, we must not only explore the context to this promise and expound the content of this promise, but we must experience the comfort from this promise. I mean, does this promise not bring comfort to your heart? Does it not bring consolation to your soul? Does it not bring contentment to your mind? Can you imagine the comfort and the consolation that Moses experienced from this promise? He experienced a sense of God in the warfare of the Lord. You remember when they were brought out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, and they were facing the mountains were before them, and the sea was in front of them, the mountains were around them, and Pharaoh was behind them. And you remember that they were in a cul-de-sac. And then the angel of the Lord, the very presence of the Lord, came and stood between Israel and Pharaoh. My friends, do we not need his protecting presence every hour? The hymn writer said, I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. We need his presence in the warfare of the Lord. My friends, we need his presence in the work of the Lord. Here's a man whose work for God seemed to be falling to pieces. And the Lord said, Moses, my face shall go with thee. I'll give thee rest. In 1896, Dr. David Livingstone stood up in Glasgow University. And he was there that day to be honored with the degree of laws. And as he rose to speak, he was received in respectful silence. He was gaunt. He was haggard. As a result of his hard labor for the Lord on the continent of Africa, as he stood before that august company that day, his left arm was just lying at his side, crushed by a lion. He announced that he was going back to Africa. And then he added these words, would you like to know what supported me through all the years of exile among a people whose language I didn't understand and whose attitude toward me was often hostile and fierce? He said it was this, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth, said Livingstone. On those words I staked everything, and they never fail. In that ministry that you're seeking to exercise for the Lord in this incoming year, will you take this promise with you? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. In the warfare of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, in the will of the Lord. God's will that so often is baffling, isn't it? And yet God's will that so always is best. I mean, for Moses, think of the crises that he had. First of all, there was a water crisis, and then there was a food crisis, and then there was a crowd crisis. I was thinking this week that Moses must have felt at times that he was just staggering from one crisis to the next. Is that the way you feel this morning? Maybe like Jacob, you're facing a family crisis. You remember that Esau wanted to kill him. And yet God met him at Bethel. And from the top of that ladder, God gave him the promise of his presence. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Maybe like the three Hebrew children this morning, you're facing a fiery crisis. You see, they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't budge. Because of their faithfulness to the Lord. And you remember the old king threw them into the fiery furnace. And as he looked into the furnace, he said, "Lo, I see four, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God." You see, they would not bow, they would not budge, and thank God they would not burn. For the Lord was with them. Maybe you're here this morning. Like Paul, you're facing a friendship crisis. You remember that as he looked around that courtroom at Rome, think of it. The last stage of the journey. He could see no friendly face. All the Christians had turned their back on him. And he said, "At my first defense, no man stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Maybe like David this morning, you're anticipating the final crisis. Somehow you feel in your heart that this will be the year the Lord will take you home. My friend, don't fear. For the Lord, who has never failed you in life, will never forsake you in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Maybe you're here this morning as a believer and you're grappling with God's mysterious will. Like Jacob, are you facing the fury of your family? Like the three Hebrew children, are you feeling the fierceness of the fire? Like Paul, are you feeling the forgetfulness of friends? Like David, are you anticipating the finality of death? When Henry Francis Light found that there was no hope of recovery from consumption, he went into his study. He looked death straight in the face, and he wrote these words: "I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me." Will you take this statement down into this new year? "My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the encouragement of your word. And we realize, Lord, that like Moses, we can become people with little help and little heart and little hope. Discouraged, despondent, disappointed, so anxious about the future. And we pray, our Father, that we might sense the comfort of your word this morning. That for every circumstance of life that faces us in this new year, for this we have the Lord Jesus, and we have the assurance of his promise: "My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest." Help us, our Father, each in our individual experiences, to work it out, and help us to be conscious of the one who hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to turn to